Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. These two verses are very, you can say, are very important, should be recited before Bhagavatam always. You generally should be recited, and it's very pleasant. It's more details you can find in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then this prayer I'm just going to chant is the prayer of Mother Queen Kunti, who describes Krishna's feature in Vrindavan, Dwaraka, a complete picture of Krishna's pastime, just by this verse. If you want, you can repeat. Would you like to repeat? Okay. Yeah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Devaki Nandanaya cha. This is the Mathura aspect or Dwaraka aspect of Krishna. Now it's the Vrindavan aspect. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya.
Govindaya Namo Namaha. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, entitled The Song of the Bee, text number 62. Yes. Asam maho charanarenu. Oh, sorry. Yavai Shri Arshitama Jadi Birapta Kamair.
Yavai Shri Arshitama
Jadi Birapta Kamair. Yavai Shri Arshitama Jadi Birapta Kamair. Yogeshwarai Rapi Yadatmani Rasa Koshtyam. Yogeshwarai Rapi Yadatmani Rasa Koshtyam. Krishnasya Tad Bhagavata Charanaravindam.
Krishnasya Tad Bhagavata Charanaravindam.
Nyastam staneshu vijahu parirabhya tapam.
Nyastam staneshu vijahu
parirabhya tapam.
Nyastam staneshu vijahu parirabhya tapam.
Yavai Shri Arshitam ajadi birapta kamair. Yogeshwararapi yadatmani rasa koshtyam. Krishnasya tad bhagavata charanaravindam. Nyastam staneshu vijahu parirabhya tapam. Why? Indeed, Shriya, by the goddess of fortune, Architam, worshipped, Aja, by unborn Brahma, Adibihi, and other demigods, Aptakamaha, who have already realized all desires. Yoga Ishvarai, masters of mystic power, api, even though, yet, which, atmani, in the mind, rasa, of the rasa dance, goshtyam,
in the gathering,
Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna, tat, those Bhagavata of the Supreme Lord, Charanaravindam, the lotus feet, Nyastam, placed Staneshu, on their breasts, Vijahu, they gave up, Parirabhya, by embracing Tapam, their torment.
Their torment.
Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The goddess of fortune herself, along with Lord Brahma and all the other demigods who are masters of yogic perfection, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within their mind. I think they made a mistake here, because it's mentioned here. The goddess of fortune herself, along with Lord Brahma and all the other demigods who are masters of yogic perfection, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within her mind or their mind. Yes, mentioned her mind. But during the rasa dance, Lord Krishna placed his feet upon those gopis' breasts, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. Please repeat. The goddess of fortune herself,
along with Lord Brahma
and all the other demigods who are masters of yogic perfections, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within their mind. But during the rasa dance, Lord Krishna placed his feet upon this gopis' breasts, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. There's no purpose, I'll continue one more verse. Vande nanda vraja srinam padarenum abhikshanasaha Yasam Hari Katavat Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the woman of Nanda Maharaja's covered village. Who is saying this?
Uddhava.
Oh, great. That is your tune to the pastime. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Purport. Sri Uddhava, having established the glories of the gopis in the previous verses, now directly offers his obeisances to them. According to the Sri Vaishnava Toshani, Sri Uddhava did not offer such respect even to Lord Krishna's queens in Dwarka. Oh, pretty heavy statement. Read the verse again. The goddess of fortune herself, along with Lord Brahma and all the other demigods who are masters of yogic perfections, can worship the lotus feet of Krishna only within their mind. But during the rasa dance, Lord Krishna placed his feet upon this gopi's breast, and by embracing those feet, the gopis gave up all distress. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savajutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakamritam sha he krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye mancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita garadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare 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 krishna We know that Krishna, he sent his very dear friend, intimate friend, and very dear devotee, and his very dear cousin, Sri Uddhava, to Vrindavan. Do you know the reason why Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan? Can you please?
To pacify the gopis and also for...
What is one at a time?
First reason to pacify the gopis.
Okay, pacify the gopis. Any other reason? Yes, Mataji? Can you just say a little louder? Okay, very nice, beautiful. Any other reason?
To demonstrate the pure love for the
gopis. To demonstrate the pure love. Very good, very nice. Yes. Very good, thank you.
Because he looked like Krishna.
Okay, very good. Yeah, all your reasons are valid. Krishna, before he left Vrindavan, Akura took Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And while Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, then the gopis stopped. They didn't want Krishna to go further. Then, how did Krishna pacify the gopis? How was Krishna able to stop the gopis from stopping the chariot? Krishna said a very profound word, Ayasya. Ayasya means, I shall return. Ayasya. So when Krishna said Ayasya, then the gopis felt, okay, at least there is some hope that Krishna will come. They were very disappointed with Akrura. In fact, they said, They were thinking, Akura's mission is only to please Kamsa. They don't understand our lamentation. Akura neglected us. But nevertheless, Krishna pacified the gopis by saying the word, Ayasya, I shall return. And then later on, we know how Krishna killed Kamsa, Chanura, Mushtika, and he relieved the Bhojas, the Andakas, and the other dynasties from the torture given by King Kamsa, also the Yadus. Then Krishna had a last conversation with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda to go back to Vrindavan. The only reason was that Krishna, he wanted to give his time to Vasudeva and Devaki at that time, because Vasudeva and Devaki missed out the very beautiful pastime of Krishna when he was in Vrindavan. And if Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda was there, then it would actually disturb the rasa with Krishna's rasa with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. That's why Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda to go back. And how did Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda stay alive? Krishna said, Drashtum Eshyamaha. We will come back to see you and Mother Yashoda. That means Krishna and Balaram will come back. In that hope, Mother Yashoda and Devaki left Mathura and went back to Vrindavan. So, in that hope, after Krishna did his studies in Gurukul under the guidance of Sandipani Muni, he came back to Mathura. Then he sent Uddhava, his very dear friend, very dear devotee. The reason is because he is considered very supremely intelligent. In this particular verse, it is explained, supremely intelligent, buddhi satta maha, that means supremely intelligent. Because by his intelligence, why does he have that supreme intelligence? Because he is the disciple of Brihaspati himself. By sending Uddhava, who is supremely intelligent, he can actually expertly pacify Nanda, Yashoda and the gopis. That's one of the reasons. Second reason is because he resembled like Krishna, as Glenn mentioned. He resembled like Krishna. By him going to Vrindavan, then people can be reminded of Krishna. Because he's so dear to Krishna, he can bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Another reason is, this very, very important reason, obviously Madhuji explains that to increase his devotional service and also to show Uddhava the true love. No, never. That is true. But also, this is very special reason. The reason is, Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan so that he could actually see the true love of the gopis and he can actually glorify the gopis of Vrindavan. And when he comes back to Mathura, he can spread this beautiful glorification of the gopis, the true love that the gopis experience to Krishna. And you know, in this particular verses, how Uddhava perfectly glorifies the gopis, in particular their devotion, as explained here. That by this verse we can see that it seems that Krishna is very partial. He is partial to one aspect of his devotees and he is neglectful to other devotees. But that is not true. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedesu stinapriya. Krishna says that I am equal to all living beings. I am equal to all living beings. So how can it be contradictory? In this verse it seems that he's showing partiality to the gopis and he's actually not offering the same benefit to Goddess of Fortune, Sri Lakshmi. How is it so? Actually, it is us, we living entities, who are showing partiality. In our conditioned state, we show our partiality. We neglect Krishna. We throw Krishna out of our life. And we invite Krishna's external energy, Maya, in our lives. This is the state of the living entities in this material world who are the Nitya Badas, or those who are conditioned since time immemorial. They've been floating around in this foreign land, life after life. The reason is because we living entities as such in this material world have shown our partiality by disregarding Krishna and accepting Krishna's external energy. Obviously, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataya vajamyaham. He says, according to your surrender, according to your attraction, I reciprocate accordingly. I reciprocate. So if you are attached to my external energy, no worries, I can make the best benefit. Usually people go to church or go to the mosque or come to temple. Oh God, please give us our daily bread. Give us a house next to the beach. Give us a beautiful darling who I can get married to. Or give me a handsome husband. Oh Krishna, I'm really in desperate situation. Any moment I can get kicked out of this country. Please give me PR, permanent residence. Obviously, Krishna will facilitate this. If he will facilitate this through your karma, through the actions you performed in your previous lives, no doubt. Similarly, those who are in the elevated, you know, those who are elevated living beings, they have all this material facility. They have material facility in the highest. You can't even expect. We dream such material facilities, but we never get them. But these living entities, they don't have to dream to get that facility. Actually, they actually have that facility within their own hands. Like the denizens of the heavenly planet, headed by Indra, Lord Brahma. They have all the material facilities, the highest material facilities, subtle. You can say the highest kind of enjoyment you can ever dream of in this material world. They have that. But they approach Krishna in their own mood. Like for example, Indra asks Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please, don't let the demons come and conquer this heavenly planet." Although they are devoted, but still their desire is that. And Krishna reciprocates with them. How does Krishna reciprocate? He came as Lord Vamanadev and he helped Indra sort out the mess he made. Similarly, obviously Brahma, he is much more elevated devotee. He is actually the leader of our sampradaya. Our sampradaya comes under the lineage of Lord Brahma, which is known as Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Brahma, he actually surrenders to Krishna in a much more elevated state, and Krishna reciprocated accordingly. We know in the Brahma Vimohana Leela how Brahma, he was puzzled when he saw little baby Krishna of Vrindavan. He just heard rumors in heavenly planet that Krishna killed the big snake demon Agasura. He was thinking, "Ah, this little boy Krishna? How could he kill Agasura? No, this is not possible. Let me try and investigate. Let me do my scientific research on Krishna." So, Brahma started doing his scientific research with his four intelligence combined together to understand who Krishna was. Obviously, Krishna, who bewilders those who bewilder others, he even bewildered Brahma. In other words, Krishna, he acted like an ordinary human being. What did he do? He had curd rice, yogurt and flat rice in his left hand. And Brahma was thinking, he's God? How can he be God? He should know how to eat. First of all, he should know the food should not be in his left hand. he should know better if he's God that the food is actually in his right hand. On top of that, God doesn't eat merely like us. He eats through the sacrificial fire. That's why he's known as Yajna Bhuk. One who eats through the sacrifice. How could Krishna eat like ordinary living entities? On top of that, I can't understand this. His friends, Krishna's friends, they give a bite and to a laddu and they say, "Oh Krishna, this is a wonderful laddu, try this." And throw it in Krishna's mouth. How could Krishna eat someone else's remnants? No. Actually, we should be eating God's remnants, but here we see opposite, that Krishna is eating the remnants of the coward boys. This cannot be God. So with his fertile intelligence, scientific research, he concluded this must not be God. He said, "Let me give it last try and let me test him." He stole the cows away. Ha! Now let's see what Krishna will do. So, Krishna, he acted like an ordinary child. He was looking for the cows and the coward boys. He couldn't find them. And Brahma said, "Look, we call him God? How can he be God?" So anyway, Brahma took the coward boys' cows, and within a moment of his time, he came back, which was a 1 year span, within in this world, in this earthly planet. He came back, he saw the very same cows, the very same coward boys he stole. And Brahma started scratching his head and he was wondering, what's going on? Brahma was so puzzled, he was bewildered. How could this take place? So Brahma went back to the cave where he hid the coward boys. He saw they were asleep. And he came back, he saw the same bunch. He was thinking, oh my God, what a blunder I have done. I made a big mess in my life. So Brahma, he brought all the cows and coward boys back. And he offered such wonderful prayers. And in his prayers, Brahma said, oh Krishna, I can understand your great mercy. Your mercy is so great that you actually, just because Putana disguised herself as a devotee, just because of that aspect, Krishna, you gave the facility. You gave so much facility to Putana as you made Putana as your nurse, as your mother. What have you got to give to the devotees of Raja? That is how much mercy you have given. So then Brahma started praying to Krishna. Oh Krishna, my only desire is, because this coward boys and Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda and the girls of Vrindavan, they're undoubtedly great. So my only desire is, oh Krishna, please, let me be a blade of grass in Vrindavan, where the denizens of Vrindavan can trample on me. Maybe this is a big prayer I'm asking. If that is a big prayer, let me at least be a grain of sand in Vrindavan. It doesn't necessarily have to be in Vrindavan, let it be in the outskirts of Vrindavan, Mathura. Because if your devotees, they come out of Vrindavan for any chance, they can at least trample on me. Be kind upon me. But here Krishna reciprocated according to Brahma's devotion. Krishna didn't respond to Brahma. The reason so is Krishna wanted to mention to Brahma, actually Brahma, you're not qualified at this stage now. You have your duties to perform. Go back to Brahma Loka and do your duties. Brahma got this message through Krishna's silence. And so Brahma circumambulated and he went back to his world to perform his devotional service accordingly. So he gets purified and in his next life he can take birth in Vrindavan or follow in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan. Obviously, this is a very, very delicate subject matter. It cannot be understood in a mundane viewpoint. Therefore, I would like to present this particular verse through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has enlightened many living entities. After his appearance, he enlightened many living entities in the divine pastime of Radha and Krishna. That's why in one of the songs, Yadi Gorna Hoito Tabe Ki Hoito Kemono Dohitam De. If it wasn't for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how would I live? How would I exist? On top of that, Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Sima. That if it wasn't for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we couldn't actually understand the mood of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. We cannot understand. So that's why, in order to deal with this very, very delicate subject matter, which may seem to be very contradictory, let's look in the lights of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's look in the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Is that right? Beautiful. So, we know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was the darling, when he was the prince of Nadia, he was the most intelligent of the brahmanas in Nadia, in Navadvip Sri Mayapur. He was such a learned scholar. He was actually teaching his students, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is disciple of Ganga Prasad, and he had his own disciple, basically students. He was teaching them Sanskrit grammar. Obviously, later on when he went to Varanasi, he came back as a different person. He wasn't anymore a materialist as any devotee might have perceived previously. Because Srivas Thakur himself and the other devotees were praying, oh Krishna, this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, he's such a great personality. He's such a brilliant student. He's very handsome. He's got all material facility. But please, oh Krishna, please make him a good devotee. So obviously, the devotee's prayer were very effective. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came back in from Varanasi, he was a different person. He no longer wanted to teach his grammar students. At one stage, he was saying the word gopi, gopi, gopi. And then the students heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu vibrate this transcendental name. They started chastising Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How dare you say this? You cannot say the word gopi, gopi, gopi. You should know better. You should chant the word Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his ecstasy, he was chanting this. But when he heard the students instructing him, he got angry. He started taking a stick and started chasing them. They started running, seeing ferocious Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu running behind them. So then the students came together and they made a plot. If Nimai does this again, then we will all beat Sri Chaitanya and Nimai up. They made that plot. When Nimai heard this, he was very pained at heart. He was thinking, how can I live like this? They can't understand this. This transcendental characteristics of the denizens of Vrindavan. So Nimai made a very profound resolution. He made a determination. He was thinking he was going to leave his very dear 16-year-old young wife, Vishnupriya, and take sannyas. The reason he wanted to take sannyas was that he wanted to teach everyone the pure love that the gopis showed to Krishna. That's one of the reasons. So Nimai, at the age of 24, he took sannyas. Another reason Nimai took sannyas, he wanted to show that actually to enter into the subject matter of Radha and Krishna, one must be renounced of all material attachments. Because sannyas, by definition, means that he should be renounced. He has no thoughts of material enjoyment, not even within the mind. Not even enjoying the opposite sex within the mind. That is sannyas. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to demonstrate as a sannyasi, the crest jewel of all sannyasi. Actually, the pastime of Radha Krishna is the cure of all material disease. That's one of the reasons he took sannyas. And when he took sannyas, he went to Puri, Jagannath Puri. And then later on, he wanted to tour around South India in the plea of seeing his brother Vishnupriya. No, Vishwarup. Because Vishwarup left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mother Sachi and even Jagannath Mishra when Jagannath Mishra wanted to make an arrangement for Vishwarup to get married. Vishwarup thought, no, I'm not going to get married, I'm going to go take sannyas. So he left the elderly father Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Mata and little Nimai. He went, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the rumor that Vishwarup was somewhere in South India. So he took that as an advantage. The reason he took that advantage, he said to his devotees in Puri Dham, Jagannath Puri, I have to go see my brother. I haven't seen my brother for so many years. Please give me the chance. The reason he did this is that he wanted to also preach Krishna consciousness in South India. He wanted to preach Krishna consciousness, that's why he took an excuse to get away from Puri and go to South India for 6 years, or around, for quite a bit of time. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go town to town, village to village. He would stay maximum 3 to 4 days, not more, as a sannyasi. And finally he arrived in the Ranga Kshetra, the holy place of Sri Rangam. This holy place, Sri Rangam, is a very, very historical place. It's considered one of the very important Divya Deshams, or Divya Desham means a divine holy place for the Sri Vaishnavas. This deities in Sri Ranga, known as Ranganathji, is actually Mahavishnu. He was being worshipped thousands and thousands of years. He was actually, this deity was personally worshipped by Lord Ram. Lord Ram from Ishvaku dynasty. This deity has been worshipped since then. Then later on, Lord Ram, after killing Ravana, he presented this worshipable deities to King Vibhishana. Because Vibhishana wanted Ram to stay in his kingdom. But obviously Ram said, no, this is not possible. I have my own kingdom, I have to rule. So Ram said, okay, I'll give you this very worshipable deity, which is from our own lineage. I'll give it to you. On the condition, wherever you leave this deities will not move. So Vibhishan, for some reason, he stopped over to do his nature's call, and he asked Ganesh, there's a whole pastime, and Ganesh, he was little naughty, he left Vishnu there, and since then Vishnu could never be moved. He wanted to take this deities to his kingdom in Lanka to be worshipped. But nevertheless, the deity still faces south, the south, because that is the kingdom where Vibhishana ruled. So in that holy place, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, and he stayed in Sri Rangam Kshetra for 4 consecutive months. The reason so is generally these sannyasis, the devotees, they wouldn't travel on the rainy seasons or during the Chaturmasya seasons. They would stay in one place. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Ranga Kshetra for 4 consecutive months. And he stayed in the house of his very nice devotee, Venkatabhat. He made a very good friendship with Venkatabhat. In the final stages, before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed Ranga Kshetra, because of that intense friendship, he would joke around always. And obviously Venkatabhat was very happy to have the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this meeting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the true love of the gopis that excels that even the love of Lakshmi Devi in this particular episode. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day jokingly said, "Oh Venkatabhat." Venkatabhat said, "Yes, my lord." "Venkatabhat, I can't understand. How is it that your Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, is after my Krishna?" Said in a joking way. "How is it your Lakshmi is desirous of meeting with my Krishna?" Obviously Venkatabhat was saying, "This is not so, you should understand. You should understand that Narayan and Krishna are not different." "Yes, you might think they're different just because Narayan has 4 arms and Krishna has 2 arms, but you should not be confused." But then Venkatabhat said, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "But I can't still understand. If Lakshmi is the most chaste of all women, how could he leave her husband, Narayan, and go to Krishna?" Then Venkatabhat said, "Actually, Krishna has a special quality. What is that quality? He has that quality of conjugal ras or the sportive ras. That is why Lakshmi was desirous of Krishna." But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started inquiring, "Why wasn't Lakshmi Devi given the facility to actually associate with Krishna in his rasa dance, if it is so?" Then Venkatabhat was stuck. He couldn't go further. He said, "This in-depth details I'm not actually well aware of. I don't want to go into it." And he started saying, "You are the same Supreme Lord Krishna. You know the answers. Why don't you tell me?" So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the Shruti Charis or the gopis who were actually in previous life, they were the Shrutis, they were the Upanishads. They worshipped Krishna and they actually worshipped Krishna under the guidance of the residents of Vrindavan. Because of that reason. Because of that reason, the Shrutis or the Upanishads, they were able to get that special benefit of having a special relationship with Krishna. Same with the sages of Dandakaranya. They followed in the footsteps of the gopis. They wanted to reciprocate Krishna in his Gopal form, in his Vrindavan aspect. That's why even those sages, they were able to get that facility. But then he started saying, why didn't Lakshmi Devi get that facility? Obviously, he was dumbstruck. Venkatabad was dumbstruck. He could say no more. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him. He said, Lakshmi Devi did penances, tapasya, for many, many years, just so that he could come into the rasa dance of Krishna. But one thing, when Krishna said, okay, you have to give up the position, that of a Lakshmi, you have to give up your opulence, and you have to take the role of a gopi, a simple maiden of Vrindavan. Gopi, and Lakshmi could not handle that. He said, no, I can't do this. So that's why Lakshmi wasn't able to reciprocate Krishna in his rasa dance. Because Lakshmi was attached in her own position. She was attached to Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence, so that's why Krishna reciprocated with her in that way. So through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we can understand the exalted position of the gopis. In fact, Uddhava is praising this. Uddhava, he was actually, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we can see how Narada Muni was trying to investigate who is the greatest devotee in this universe, in this creation. So he went to Lord Shiva. Because Shiva is the greater devotee of Lord Brahma. Because Brahma was on the basis of Karma Kanda section, but then Shiva was in the Jnana Kanda section, in much more detailed subject matter. I'm not going into details. Anyway, Lord Shiva pointed, Narada Muni said to Lord Shiva, oh Shiva, you're the greatest devotee. Lord Brahma told me, I know this, because even the Lord Himself worships you, that's why you're the greatest devotee. Lord Shiva got angry. He literally ran to Narada Muni, shut his mouth. He said, don't say this, he is my Lord and he shall remain so. He said, If I am the greatest devotee, then how did I fight with Krishna and join hands with Banasura? No. If I am the greatest devotee, I wouldn't fight against Krishna. So he gave so many reasons why he's not the greatest devotee. Then Parvati said, oh, Narada, I want to tell you a secret. He said, no, actually, Parvati said, Shri, whom I come from, Lakshmi, whom I come from, she is the greatest devotee. Then when Lord Shiva said, Narada Muni, I want to tell you a secret, so please come. So Narada Muni came towards the ears of, Narada Muni gave his ears in the mouth of, and Shiva gave that secret. He said, the greatest devotee is Sri Prahlad Maharaj. So Narada Muni, was in ecstasy. So he went to where Prahlad Maharaj resided in Sutala planets. And he said, and he started offering obeisances to his own disciple Prahlad Maharaj. Narada Muni and Prahlad Maharaj said, whoa, wait a minute. This is very embarrassing. Don't do this. You're my guru. You're my spiritual master. How? Why do you do this? And then Narada Muni said, you are the greatest devotee. I know this. I heard from the relevant sources. You cannot say anything. I know this. Prahlad Maharaj said, no. You should try to understand. Prahlad Maharaj said, actually, I'm not the greatest devotee. Because Nrsimhadev gave me protection and everything else. But Nrsimhadev came and gave me protection. After he performed his pastime, he immediately left. I cannot be the greatest devotee because I couldn't reciprocate with the Lord. Hanuman is the greatest devotee because Hanuman served the Lord the best way. So Narada Muni thought, he went to where Hanuman resided. He said, he started praising Hanuman. Hanuman got upset. He said, "No, Narada, you cannot say this." Hanuman said, "Actually, I'm not the greatest devotee. The Pandavas are greater devotee than me, because Pandava, headed by Arjuna, they had intimate friendship with Krishna. I served Krishna, very nice, that's good. I served Lord Ram, very nice. But actually, they were very good friends of Krishna. That's why you should go and see and pay your obeisances and your offerings to the Pandavas, not to me." So Narada Muni went over to where the Pandavas resided in Kurukshetra, in Hastinapur. When Krishna appeared, when Narada Muni appeared in the assembly of the Pandavas, he started glorifying the Pandavas for the intimate friendship of Krishna. "Oh Arjuna, you eat with Krishna, you sleep with Krishna, you go and play around with, you go on riding on the same chariot, hunting with Krishna. So that means you are the greatest of all devotees." When the Pandavas heard this, they were really disturbed. "How could you say this, Narada? We are not the greatest devotee. Greater devotee than us are the residents of the Dwaraka Puri. Why? Because, headed by Uddhava, because the Dwaraka Vasis, they are intimate relative of Krishna. That's why they are greater devotee." So Narada Muni was persuaded by the Pandavas to go and glorify the Dwaraka Vasis. When he came into the assembly hall of Dharma, where Krishna's assembly hall was, Ugrasena was sitting on his throne. And Narada Muni was feeling in great ecstasy. He was starting to praise the residents of Dwaraka. And the Dwarakavasi said, "Oh Narada, please come sit on the throne." Narada Muni said, no, this is not for me." He started sitting on the ground in the assembly of all the kings and the ministers. When all of them saw the Narada Muni sitting on the ground, they got off their own on the throne. They got off their own throne and sat on the ground. And Narada Muni was glorifying them. And Dwarakavasi said, don't say this. "We are not great devotees. Because we know who is the greatest devotee. The greatest devotee is Uddhava. Uddhava is greatest devotee because he literally 24 hours he's with Krishna. He eats with Krishna. He stays in Krishna's room. He massages Krishna's feet. So that's why Uddhava is the greatest devotee. In fact, when Krishna wants confidential message to be sent, he sends Uddhava. He sends Uddhava and none of us to Vrajabhumi, to Sri Vrindavan Dham, to pacify the gopis. That's why, in our conclusion, Uddhava is the greatest. And when Duryodhana captures Krishna's son, Samba, because Samba wanted to go and marry Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhana, in order to stop the dispute, Krishna sent Uddhava along with Balaram to make a peace treaty. So that's why Uddhava is the greatest devotee. So Narada Muni, he was in ecstasy. He was trembling. He was rolling on the ground. He was literally in bliss. And then he came and he went to the palace of Uddhava, in where Uddhava was with Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa. Uddhava was with Satyabhama, Rukmini, Vasudev, Devaki. And when Narada Muni saw Uddhava, he started paying obeisances and he started saying, "Oh Uddhava, you're the greatest of all devotees." And Uddhava said, no, don't say this." Uddhava said, "Yes, I thought I was the greatest devotee. At one stage of my life, I thought I was the best of all devotees. But I have to tell you, I have to admit to you that when I went to Vrindavan, actually, I came to the conclusion, I'm not the greatest devotee. I've come to the conclusion that I've got a long way to go. I came to the conclusion that the residents of the Vrindavan Vasis, residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, are the greatest devotee. This is because I have toured in Vrindavan under Krishna's mercy. I have went to deliver the message. And there I have discovered that the residents of Vrindavan are the greatest devotee. Why? Because even though they're not with Krishna, they're separated from Krishna, but they're always Krishna conscious. They always glorify Krishna. So much. As we know in this particular verse, the glories, the gopis sing the glories of Krishna so much, so great, that the entire, the vibration that it comes from the gopis' mouth actually purifies the three worlds. This is the mission of the gopis. More one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more one becomes selfless, the more one becomes desirous to give Krishna to others. In fact, in one of these very beautiful verses the gopis sing, we can see the in-depth position of the gopis. When Pratapa Rudra Maharaj, the king of Jagannath Puri, when he was desirous of meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the mercy of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he was able to finally meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. There, under the guidance of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he sang the Gopi Gita, the song of the gopis. And in one of the particular verse, in this particular verse, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he went in ecstasy, he went in transcendental bliss. What is Pratapa Rudra Maharaj saying? That actually brought spiritual revelation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, intense, in-depth spiritual absorption to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sang this verse. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibhireditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam shrimaratatam bhuvigrinanti e buridhajana. This verse actually shows the position of the gopis, the selflessness of the gopis. And the gopis actually praises those who preach the glories of Krishna. In this particular verse, it goes, the nectar of your words and the description of your activities, that is Krishna's words, Krishna's activities, are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reaction and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. This is a very, very powerful verse. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he went in ecstasy. And in there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that there will be a great devotee who preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted. And who was that? It's none other than our beloved founder, His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhaktivinanda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he is actually Buridajana. He is the most munificent, he is the most beneficent to the human society. Because he is taking the instructions of the gopis. What is the instruction of the gopis? Through their life, they were teaching how to glorify Krishna the best way. So Srila Prabhupada, he was able to take that instruction or the example the gopis showed by actually demonstrating in the whole world by preaching Krishna consciousness. That's why the gopis, or the in particular Srimati Radharani, are the most exalted of all devotees. Because by their nature, they are very selfless. They're willing not only to have Krishna in their life, also give Krishna to others. That's why they are the most munificent. And Srila Prabhupada indeed, in the footstep of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to fulfill or claim himself as Bhuri Dajana or the most munificent person. He was able to claim himself because he actually fulfilled the instructions of the gopis. Because why? He was the best servant of the 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 gopis. This is instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishna shudra. Naham varni nacha griyapatirno vanasti yatirva. Kintu prodyam nikila paramananda purnamritamde. Gopi bhartu parakamalayu dasa dasa no dasa. At the end he said, Gopi bhartu parakamalayu dasa dasa no dasa. I am just the servant of the servant of the servant of the husband of the gopis, Krishna. Basically, I'm the servant of the gopis. And this, in this mood, Srila Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness. In the mood that he was a humble servant of those servants who are the servants of the gopis and Krishna. So, through the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through Srila Prabhupada's preaching, we were benedicted, we were able to comprehend, we were able to at least theoretically understand the supreme position of the gopis in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore we have eternal gratitude, we have to show eternal gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following their tenets, their instructions, simple instructions, and following our sadhana program which Srila Prabhupada has initiated. By this is how we can show our gratitude. This is how we can pay our debt to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Is there any quick comments or question? Yes, from Mataji.
Sorry, I don't understand
Yes, and we know the best of all Brahmachari, or he's also very intimate. He's also considered sannyasi, and he's also the most intimate to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Srila Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar, he was Vishakha Devi, a very dear, gopi friend of Srimati Radharani. And Ramananda Roy, He was born in a Shudra family, and Ramananda Roy, he was a householder, and he actually was also considered a very intimate friend of Srimati Radharani, Lalita Devi. So there were personalities who appeared like Ananga Manjari or Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari appeared as Rupa Goswami, and so the other Manjaris also appeared in different forms.
Ramananda Roy was Shikha.
Yeah, I think so. You're correct according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I read the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, that it's mentioned a little bit different. So I was also thinking what you were mentioning, that Ramananda Roy was Vishakha Devi. But according to Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, written by Kavi Karnapur, explains that Ramananda Roy was Lalita, Arjuna, two Arjunas, one Arjuna in Vrindavan, another Arjuna, the sons of the Pandavas, and yeah, so you might be correct. I'm not surely. Oh yeah, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yeah. I thought it was, that was like that. Thank you very much. Yes, I don't know what it is. Anyway, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.